And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Local barbecue titan Ollie Gates told National Public Radio earlier this year that most people might look at burnt ends and say, whoa, that goes in the dog's dish. But he says the more dark, crispy, and ugly it is, the deeper and smokier the flavor is. And such is the character of Kansas City barbecue, where you can scarcely go 2 miles without smelling barbecue and imagining salty rub flakes. Kansas City, according to our guests, is home to more than 100 barbecue restaurants and the largest competitive barbecue organization in the world, the Kansas City Barbecue Society. And joining us now are two people very familiar with burnt ends. As a matter of fact, they named their film company Burnt Ends Media as they plan a new documentary about KC and its one-of-a-kind barbecue scene. We'd like to welcome filmmaker Martin Diggs and producer and writer, also filmmaker Kevin Fosslin, both here with Burnt Ends Media. Welcome to Central Standard.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Now, Kansas City, our guests are looking for stories, barbecue lore, recipes, anecdotes from legendary barbecues or tailgating parties. What does the word, concept, phenomenon of barbecue mean to you, Kansas City? We're opening up the lines right now as we begin this conversation. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also let your thoughts marinate via centralstandard@kcur.org. We're talking barbecue this morning, and we'd like you to get involved in the conversation. Kevin, is a barbecue documentary long overdue here in Kansas City?
I would think yes, and a simple answer. The opportunity that we had to meet with Doug Wargel and talk about his book that he wrote a little bit over a decade ago kind of laid the foundation for us in realizing there's an opportunity here to tell a story for the entire history and culture of our city, and why, and that ultimately comes to why is Kansas City known for its barbecue?
When you mention Doug Wargel, you're mentioning the author of Thin Blue Smoke.
Thin Blue Smoke.
Thin Blue Smoke, and he is a barbecue historian as well as...
And his book was The Grand Barbecue that he wrote covering Kansas City.
Over at Oklahoma Joe's, their marketing guy.
Absolutely.
So in talking to him, what did you find out about the viability of a documentary, about the richness of the culture of Kansas City here?
I think he was happy with his finished product. He was really happy and passionate about Kansas City barbecue, and that really came out to us as we talked more and more about what our vision was and what we wanted to do. And he started leading us in the directions of getting some of the stories that maybe he's found since he wrote the book, as well as different things that could come encompass into the whole project.
Did you have a name for the project yet, the documentary?
Actually, we just keep calling it KC BBQ Documentary just for the simple fact that we might let it crowdsource it and let anyone that wants to come in and name it for us, if they come up with the right name.
Right. And what's the approach you plan to take on documenting the history and legacy? Or do you plan to let the story just evolve as it evolves? What's the game plan?
I think that's a fair statement, because we were talking with some of the various barbecue legends in Kansas City as far as Kansas City Barbecue Society yesterday. We have a vision of some of the things that we want to do, and then we keep hearing stories. One story I heard yesterday was a gentleman was telling me a story of a Kansas Cityan who played football with Bronco Nagurski for the Cleveland Browns, but talked about how they stored their smoked hams in their attic of their house. And I think I need a little bit more detail on that from him as exactly how they went and do it. But it's restaurants in this town. It's the competitions. But it's also everybody's backyard and their grandparents and where it was handed down from. And ultimately, whether it be through our website, people telling us stories, calling into the show today here, telling us stories, this is what we're trying to collect and collaborate in the overall project.
This is a live anthropological experiment in barbecue, Kansas City. If you happen to know Bronco Nagurski or played football with him or put ham in a smoke shed, we want to hear the full range of your barbecue stories here in Kansas City. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also let your thoughts marinate via centralstandard@kcur.org. It doesn't have to be something elaborate, does it, Kevin? It could just be an anecdote about something that happened in your backyard.
Absolutely. I remember talking to my mom when Martin and I first came up with the idea and we started working on the feasibility of the project and how we were going to go about doing it. And I said something to my mom and she turned around and goes, you know, your grandmother made barbecue sauce. And I'm like, no, No, I didn't. So I'm even finding stories within my own family, with my neighbors, anybody comes up and has a story for us, and then we start hearing all about it. And it's really kind of exciting to hear everybody's involvement.
Martin Diggs, what was your first introduction to barbecue?
You asked the right person the right story. As far as I recall, I was visiting my my grandmother during the summer, and we were at a church function, and it was beans that had me hooked on the first. Okay, just baked beans, barbecue baked beans, but it was in one of those 9x12 Pyrex kind of pans. I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and it was after church or an after church function, and I just remember being hooked dead on. And they made fun of me because I probably ate half of the beans on my own, because that's all I ate the entire time. And even when I cook now, I kind of go back and I'm chasing that dragon as far as flavors go. Whatever someone put in those beans was all I ever needed to know about barbecue, and I've been a fan ever since.
Well, my earliest memory of barbecue is a 6-foot-tall, dark, black as coal black man, one of my distant uncles, with a white tank top, a shower cap, a Jerry curl, a Newport hanging out the corner of his mouth just for dear life, a prong in his hand, uh-huh, moving the meat around on the grill, and a .357 Magnum stuck in the back, in his pants, tucked in. Best barbecue I've had to this day.
Exactly.
I actually grew up thinking that you had to have those things to make delicious barbecue.
Maybe that's what I'm missing.
Right.
I have some extra
right.
Motivation.
If you could top my story, Kansas City, call in at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We're with filmmakers Martin Diggs and Kevin Fawson of Burnt Ends Media that are planning an as yet untitled barbecue documentary. And it promises to be sizzling. Kevin, the answer is different every time, but what makes Kansas City barbecue different from, say, Memphis, North Carolina, Texas, and the other contenders for the barbecue crown?
Well, the different flavors, and I think Martin has definitely pointed this out on more than one occasion, and the fact that we don't just specialize in one meat. I mean, you sit there and talk about North Carolina and pork, and you talk about brisket in Texas. Kansas City, you talk about everything. There's no meat that's not smoked here and marinated, rubbed, and then sauced up. I think that's what segregates everything right there from the other marketplaces for barbecue.
We got Mike in South KC. Welcome to Barbecue Hour on Central Standard. Mike.
Yes. Pardon me, and you might have just answered my question. I'm a native Kansas Cityan, but I mean, and I went to Evansville, Indiana, and back in North Carolina and Florida and Tyler, Texas, and various places. And you know, they all claim that their barbecue was number one. And my question, and maybe you've just answered it, is why do you consider Kansas City's barbecue to be special?
Why is Kansas City the barbecue capital?
I think it kind of goes with the history and the story that we're talking about. You're talking about a town 130, 140 years ago that ended up being a huge commerce area for livestock. And in the West Bottoms, you had millions of cows and pigs coming through the area. And anyone that was working in the meatpacking plants in those areas would take home the scraps, find the marinades, find the rubs, do the things to those scraps that would end up making them beyond edible, making them really flavor. And I think that's, we could argue about who's number one about barbecue, whether it be in the United States, whether it be around the world. But ultimately, what it comes down to, this is a very personal story for Kansas City that ties in not only in our beginnings, but in the growth and still what we hold on to as in our culture to this day.
We got John in Lexington, Missouri. Welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning.
Good morning. Barbecue away. Yep.
Well, there's a great little place in Springfield called Crosstown Barbecue, and it has a Kansas City connection. When you read the menu, the story on the menu, evidently the father lived in Kansas City, drove down to Springfield to run his barbecue. He would then come home on Saturday night. The wife would have a big steak waiting for him. And this place is still open, and it's now run by the son. Little bitty place in Springfield. It's got great barbecue, Kansas City barbecue flavor.
Do you know what the name of it is for our listeners?
It's called Crosstown Barbecue.
Crosstown Barbecue. You heard it from John in Lexington, Missouri. Crosstown Barbecue is the place to be. You guys have experiences, Martin Diggs, at restaurants here, and certainly the story of Kansas City Barbecue is the story of its historic restaurants as well.
Yeah, I think that that's where most people, you know, i.e. the Food Network, and what most people see outside of Kansas City is, what they think that's what it's all about here in Kansas City. And it's about so much more from our perspective, and that's one of the things that that's why we're talking about the culture of barbecue in Kansas City, and you know, the fact that there's 35 to 40 different manufacturers of barbecue sauce in grocery stores, so you have your choices. People, it's a society here where that's what we do. That's what we talk about. When there's an event or a celebration, there's barbecue involved, you know? So it means a lot to us. It's not just the restaurants. It's not just about tailgating or even the competitions. It's about everybody has their own take on barbecue and cooking and creating. And I think that that's the fun of it. It's kind of like jazz to this area. You know, if barbecue were music, I think it would be jazz. And that's an interesting tie-in historically to how jazz helped barbecue and vice versa.
And you could probably shoot about 80 gazillion hours of footage just examining the difference between Gates and Arthur Bryant's alone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just those two big
barbecue. And oddly enough, they learned from the same.
And they learned from the same master.
Yeah.
And you're going to be looking at the history of it, which is not often documented.
Well, I think that's kind of an interesting point that was just brought up about it. Here's a barbecue joint down in Springfield with its genealogical roots to Kansas City. And I think that's what we're looking at is a overview, not only anthropology, but also from a genealogical standpoint of who handed what to whom and how did it diverse. And we're talking about two of the titans right there as far as Gates and Arthur Bryant. And yet how they've got to be some of the longest standing businesses in Kansas City. And that is absolutely fascinating.
And that says a lot about the culture of barbecue here in our city. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. What does the word, the concept, the phenomenon of barbecue mean to you? We're doing an anthropological survey, so to speak, with a barbecue twist. We got a tweet from KC Live Music Blog saying, anyone who cooks KC barbecue believes theirs is the best. Regardless of end product, incredible pride comes from cooking barbecue. Thank you for that tweet. At KC Live Music Blog, at our Twitter destination, at KCURCST. You can tweet your favorite barbecue memories or thoughts there as well. Once again, that Twitter handle is at KCURCST. You can also write in via email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Katie in Overland Park, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. You asked for, your first barbecue experience, and mine was kind of funny. I moved here from Nebraska, and that's not a, you know, huge barbecue state. And we went to a local barbecue place, my friend and I, and I was looking at the menu. I had no earthly idea what to order. It was all foreign to me. And there was this fun sandwich called a burnt end sandwich. And I thought, oh, that must be fun and different. I mean, it can't really be burnt because nobody would serve burnt food to anybody. And so I decided to order that, and I got my sandwich, and of course it was completely full of burnt ends, as described, and I looked at my friend and said, oh my gosh, my whole sandwich is just completely burnt, and she looked at me and she's like, you ordered a burnt end sandwich. Since then I've learned what to order, and I absolutely just love all the barbecue offerings that there are here. And always, you know, take friends when they come down to visit to all the different places. But Walt was kind of a real smart.
Thank you, Katie, for your anecdote. A burnt-end sandwich is just that, a burnt-end sandwich. As a matter of fact, it's not a burnt-end sandwich if it's not burnt.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things that's very popular signature-wise around this region. Talk about that, Kevin, and then we'll go to Martin.
Well, I think that's kind of the whole thing and what – you know, here's someone who has to come to Kansas City to learn about burnt ends. And from our vantage point, this is something we grew up with.
Right.
And I think the story Martin has, too, in that sense, is imagine growing up with that and then moving away, living in L.A., working in the film industry, and not having access to Kansas City barbecue. I have lived here my entire life and can't imagine not having that available to me.
That's actually when I started to cook, was living in Los Angeles, and people would invite me over, and they would say, come over for a barbecue, and they'd hit their little propane button on their gas grill, fire that up, and throw frozen meat on the grill. And I was like, wait a second. So I literally went out, bought a grill, and did research online on how to prepare Kansas City barbecue, and that's when I started to cook, so that I could show my friends in California – this is what I grew up with. This is what a barbecue means to me. This is, you know, we start the night before.
What did you learn about the process of Kansas City barbecue in particular when you moved away? Because it's interesting. You could be anywhere in America and you'll see something that says Kansas City style just randomly.
Right. Typically, the Kansas City style has to do with the ingredients and the rubs and in the sauces, especially. The oak wood is a popular choice. Wood for Kansas City style barbecue as well. You know, in the modern sense, people like to get into using the fruit woods, and some of the restaurants are doing that more. So certainly, but you know, it's slow and low over wood, you know, is basically what I learned. And in regulating the temperature and stuff like that with the smoker isn't as easy as you would think. So that's there's a big learning curve as far as that goes.
And neither is putting together a documentary not as easy as you would think. You do have an ace in the hole production-wise. Julie Clark, who's a producer working with your project, is another Kansas City native who worked with shows on the Food Network, such as The Great Food Truck Race. What type of dramatic flavor and know-how does that expertise bring to your project, Kevin?
I think it brings a lot, actually. And the different styles that we're going to have available to us, whether it be say the modern style of covering reality barbecue competitions. We're doing the American Royal in just a month from now, basically. The World Series of Barbecue, and also their first National Hall of Fame that's associated with the American Royal. So I think that brings the flavor into it. But then we also, when we're talking about the historical side and stuff like that, maybe we're going to start using a Ken Burns effect where we can go back and chronicle. So I think the mixture of the talent that we have available is going to bring across a really nice story.
We learned recently in a baseball barbecue and jazz sort of panel documentary over here in our very own Miller Nichols Library, a panel demonstration that was put together by Pelham McDaniel, who was a professor of history here. He's now at Emory University in Atlanta, but he was a professor of history here. We learned that the slave rebellion with Nat Turner in the 1830s was planned at a barbecue. Like, pass the coleslaw, we're getting up out of here.
Right. That doesn't surprise me at all.
So that lore would definitely be something interesting to be documented. I mean, that stymied me when I read about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are the stories and the things that we keep stumbling across. And there's an element that we could sit there and say, yeah, we're huge barbecue fans. But ultimately what it comes down to, the stories that keep coming out about this is what really is driving our passion.
And we want to hear your stories, Kansas City, 816-235-2888. The lines are open. Dial up some blue smoke, and you can let your thoughts marinate at centralstandard@kcur.org. Our Twitter handle is also @KCURCST. Join the conversation along with Doc in North KC. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hey there. Great topic. I'm one of these guys that barbecues and grills year-round, probably two or three times a month. Probably the best display of barbecuing in this town is at the Chiefs. But you just mentioned my main point is you can't really talk barbecuing without talking competition. And if you're going to do a documentary, you kind of have to talk about the historical significance of the Kansas City Barbecue Society and how they're the kind of the controlling body for competitions all over the United States. And it's not really a KCBS-sanctioned event unless they cook in five categories, which I think is ribs, pork shoulder, pork butt, poultry, miscellaneous.
Brisket.
Yeah, brisket.
Miscellaneous.
Yeah, because there are people down there doing ostrich and
right,
seafood.
Right, right.
And then they also have best barbecue sauce on the planet
right.
competition every year, not to mention the fact that KCBS runs their own instructional classes so that you can have KCBS certification to be a judge, and they've literally trained thousands of judges to be able to judge. So it's as much of an experience to be a judge in these competitions as to be a spectator.
Thank you, Doc. Doc there has got the prescription for why Kansas City is the barbecue capital. It's not even really so much about the technique or so much about the taste and comparing it to Memphis, North Carolina, or Texas, or any of the other contenders, but about the sort of legislative properties and taste-making with barbecue that happens here in Kansas City. Kevin?
Absolutely. And the history, again, going back on that, with Carolyn Wells at the Kansas City Barbecue Society, and the fact of the matter that they do things as far as training judges and the like, I'm actually thinking about going through the whole process to become a judge just to make sure that I'm familiar with their techniques and what they're looking for. A perfect example of that is you're supposed to have a perfect bite on a rib and leave your teeth mark on the rib, and it's not supposed to come off the bone and stuff like that. And then we'll talk to people and go, oh, I like it when my ribs just kind of slide right off the bone. We're going, well, that's not competition barbecue. So it's the interpretation and the things that we've been learning along the way as well that make it really interesting to kind of hear comments like that and then say, well, yeah, that's about right.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, the call letters, and we're streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. We're talking barbecue history and a new Kickstarter campaign to fund a barbecue documentary and as yet untitled barbecue documentary with filmmaker Martin Diggs and producer and writer Kevin Fosland, both of Burnt Ends Media. They have a name of the holding company, but not the documentary. It's a holding company created to launch this new venture. Kansas City, our guests are looking for stories, among other things, for their documentary, lore, recipes, anecdotes from a legend, wait for it, dairy barbecues or tailgating parties. What does the word concept, the phenomenon of barbecue, mean to you? The lines are open. Dial up some blue smoke, 816-235-2888. You can also let your thoughts marinate via centralstandard@kcur.org. Grober in Midtown, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. I guess my concept of barbecue is the hog roast that I grew up on in southern Iowa. It's more of a culture, a family style where you get together and play cribbage and drink a beer. And, you know, at that point in time, we were throwing up hay by the bales. You know, it just it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, one race or another, or one, you know, one ethnic group or another. It's more of a culture where you get together and just, slow roast something. You know, smoke it, however you're preparing it, and get together and have fun. You know, get some work done and eat some, beef, pork, chicken, whatever.
Thank you, Grover. And this is one of the things that was pointed out in Doug Wargo's book, Thin Blue Smoke. This is something that transcends race. We have an African-American filmmaker and a white filmmaker, both with Kansas City native, in here. And the draw is barbecue. Talk about that, Kevin.
It's Kansas City. It's the local flavor, if you will, in that sense, and that's what draws everyone together. We can look down any neighborhood and look down the backyard and see how many grills and how many smokers lined up on everyone's, and it's a community thing, and it doesn't matter. Ultimately, what it comes down to is about good barbecue, and that's what everyone always wants to talk about, and that's what they always want to prepare.
When we started the project, our first step was to define what barbecue is, and that's when we realized that it has many definitions. Barbecue itself, of course, a cooking style type of restaurant. But for us, it's always centered around an event, you know, a get-together. And the best part about those is that, yes, everyone is welcome, and it's typically about trading stories. That's what people do in their backyards. You know, they have a beer, stand over a grill, and they're just making up stories or telling real stories, history, passing time, whatever, making each other laugh.
Speaking of trading stories, we have Mary Ann in Jonathan in Weston. Jonathan, welcome to Central Standard.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I've got my first memory of barbecue is 171st and Holmes Road. There's a little barbecue joint called Sneed's Barbecue. I think it's been out there since the 50s, and my memory is Bill Sneed put up a hitching post out back, and we could ride our horses in the town. Actually, it was just kind of out in the middle of the field. And so, being a country, we'd just ride our horses a couple miles, and he'd have hay and water for our horses. And being kids, we'd just go in, eat what we wanted, and leave. And then when our parents came in,
they just settle up the bill with them.
Wow.
I think Sneed's Barbecue is still out there.
Oh, it is, and this is back to what we're talking about as far as stories are concerned. A lot of times what we will do is when we first meet someone saying, okay, what's your favorite Kansas City barbecue joint? And recently I had someone actually agree with me on my favorite barbecue joint, which happens to be Sneed's Barbecue out in Belton. And I don't know any of the Sneed's. They don't know about me or anything like that. But my story goes with my dad was a North Dakota farm boy that came to Kansas City to work for the Union Pacific Railroad. And this is roughly the Vietnam era, and he ended up joining the Air Force Reserves and was stationed at Richards Gebauer, and that's how he found Sneed's. And he would always take us as kids out there because that's where he was introduced to Kansas City barbecue. And the fact of the matter that that ended up being our family event. I didn't ride any horses. I missed on that. But we literally would go out there, and we knew it was a special day when we were going out to Sneed's Barbecue. And to me, that's where we can talk about cooking styles and everything like that, but all my memories tie in with an event. Anytime I go out to Sneed's, it's always a family drawback for me and sitting there thinking and reflection. And I think that's why this is so important to me, because like I said, it's nice to hear you're the second person to say Sneed's in a week, and I have not had anyone ever say it before that.
You got a lot of work cut out for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, but here's what you hear, and this is what we hear with the phone calls that we're getting and, you know, the passion in our voices and even yours, your story, is the emotional connection that people have to barbecue. And it just amazes me that, you know, such a simple thing, meat and fire, and it's probably some tribal primal instinct from way back when, you know, but everyone has, you know, these stories and that connection to the whole thing. And that's what makes it big here, whatever, we're the epicenter of it in Kansas City. I don't have any problems with saying that Kansas City is the barbecue capital of the world. I know that I'm biased, but based on everything that we've found, that there's, I don't think that there's anyone's stories, Texas, Memphis, compare to the passion that is here.
And it's the capital because it's institutionalized.
Barbecue
is institutionalized.
It is.
There are manuals. There are rules. There are contests.
It's a Kansas City industry now, too, if you look at it, because you sit there and say the number of people that have come up with rubs, number of people have come up with sauces, people make custom-built smokers. There is a fairly large industry in Kansas City now that's devoted to barbecue, and I think that's another thing that we kind of want to – it already exists. But we just want to highlight it and show people that, hey, there's actually a lot of options out there that maybe they don't even know about in the current marketplace. And I was kind of going to back real quick on the tailgating with the Chiefs. That is a huge thing, and that's a modern thing, because if you go back to the Kansas City A's, that's where your Arthur Bryant's and Gates kind of got their names, because they were located next to Municipal Stadium down there. And that wafting smoke as you're going into the ballpark and everything like that. Those are the stories we're hearing now, because I'm fortunate enough to say that I'm a little too young to remember going to Kansas City A's games, because I don't think I ever did. But that's where tailgating potentially had its roots. And it's so, again, this is a long story. The Chiefs is a recent phenomenon in that sense, and it goes back into the 40s and 50s as far as sporting events.
Mary Ann in Southern KC. Hi.
How are you?
Hi. Welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. Here's my first memory of Kansas City barbecue, and it also has a tie-in with the Municipal Stadium. I grew up in Independence during the 1950s, and at the time, at least in my family, salt and pepper were considered like the full complement of spices, and if we were going to barbecue, it was burning hot dogs on a grill. But my high school friends, Tom and Matt, took me to the old gates that was close to Municipal, and that's where I had my first real barbecue experience. I was instructed about how to eat ribs, and you had to eat them with your hands, and that the pickles were there to cut the grease, and the white bread was the napkin. I've been hooked ever since. My husband and his best friend are grillers. They've made sauces. They've participated in some conferences, but it's just, there's nothing like Kansas City barbecue.
Kansas City, where the white bread is the napkin. Thank you, Mary Ann from Southern KC. We're going to go to Chris in Overland Park. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, I love the show. I had a, my question was that, you know, it seems like recipes and the kitchen always belongs to the ladies and has since the beginning of time. But barbecue seems to be a male sport, and all of my uncles and dad and stuff have passed down recipes to me, and they get better every time and every generation. And so my question was, you know, is there a lady barbecue joint? Are there any famous lady patriarch or matriarchs in the barbecue world, or is it just is it mostly a male sport?
Chris makes an interesting point. You seem to remember hearing, I know I did, the four famous words: "Don't touch my grill, boy."
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I still hear that, actually.
There are some, right. I know there's some very strong women teams out there that compete. Squeal of Approval is the one that comes to my mind in a big way. Restaurants, I'm not sure if there's...
Competitions and restaurants are two different animals altogether, though, because just because you can go out and compete and win competitions doesn't mean you can run a restaurant. And just because you run a restaurant and serve it necessarily mean you're going to go out and win competitions. I'm going to go right back to the very beginning and bring up Carolyn's name, who is the founder of Kansas City Barbecue Society, and she herself is a cook. We talked about it last week about what she would do as far as smoking and the like. I think traditionally, the grill has always been dad's realm or the guy's realm. That's their space.
I think guys like to play with fire more than girls in general, where it starts, you know.
I think so, too.
You chose Kickstarter, among other things, to fund this project. Isn't barbecue sort of a no-brainer here? Why'd you choose Kickstarter?
I think we wanted to get the community involved initially. We've talked to various potential investors and anyone that might be interested in the project, going out and actually reaching out into the barbecue industry and raising funds that way. But I thought, and what we talked about when we first started this, if we use Kickstarter, it gets people involved immediately. So it's not just Martin and I's project. It's a Kansas City project. And so we want to hear the stories. We want to do this. But we also want everyone to have a part, and in essence, a community ownership into the project.
Martin Diggs, what do you want people to take away from this project, which will, I guess, at some point be named when they see the finished project?
Well, now that you say that, now I'm thinking about White Bread is the Napkin is the name of the documentary. That was classic.
White Bread is the Napkin. Kansas City, where White Bread is the Napkin. Go ahead.
I think, honestly, there's two things that I've always said. One is I don't want there to be a doubt in anyone's mind at the end of seeing this that Kansas City is the barbecue capital of the world, okay? The other thing, honestly, is I want people to go away hungry. And that's something that we've talked about. It's not that difficult. I mean, this is what happens just by talking about it is you get hungry.
We're talking KC Barbecue and Kickstarter campaigning and a new documentary idea about Kansas City, the capital of barbecue, with filmmaker Martin Diggs and producer and writer Kevin Fosslin, both of, ironically enough, Burnt Ends Media. Good luck on this project, fellas. You can come back anytime. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
And tune in tomorrow as the food critics drop by to set the table for a discussion on the culinary sensations that make their mouths water. Our show is produced by Tamika Weatherspoon. Central Standard is executive produced by Bill Anderson, with help from Andrea Salenzi, who is at present on her way to a new job at WFMU in New Jersey as the director of the Free Music Archive. Congratulations and good luck, Andrea. Godspeed, wherever it may follow you. That's the truth. Kim Noble is our announcer. Emily Mutert manages our website at kcur.org. The intro theme music is by Miles Bonney. See you later, buddy. The outro you're hearing right now is by The Wilnots. Up to Date is next with a discussion on energy issues in Missouri and Kansas, that plus your weekend to-do list. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.